Well, Brother Daniel, I apologize again for putting you on the spot like that. Ed Kirkpatrick told me that you used to lead singing, so he's misinformed, isn't he? We won't put you on the spot like that again, not for a couple of months anyway. Now, we're thankful that you're here. We're glad that you're here. Y'all increased the population of our congregation. We have a family that's moving. They're in the oil business, and they're moving to Alabama. And they've gone this weekend, the Ross family. You looking at me like you didn't know that, Kimberly? He's been transferred to South Alabama, and they're down there trying to find a place to live. And they'll only be here a few more weeks. So a very strong family, too. One of the deacons had two teenage daughters and just a wonderful fearing the Lord, and when the doors were open, they were here, and it's quite a blessing, had been a blessing to us. So there's going to be a void that needs to be filled. There was four of them, and there's two of y'all, so y'all got it half done already. Here I am putting pressure on you again. I hope the Lord leads y'all to come back and be with us. This is, in my opinion, is a beautiful place where the Lord's people come together to sing and worship and praise and honor our sweet Savior. I know there's a lot of churches out around on the streets and a lot of people that have a lot of different varying opinions about, you know, the scriptures and about eternal salvation and how you're supposed to act, what you're supposed to do. And I'm real comfortable with what the Primitive Baptists believe and preach, and that if it were not for the grace of our loving Christ, Jesus Christ, we'd all be lost. There'd be no salvation for us at all. And he died for, how many of our sins did he die for, boys? And when y'all know?
Everybody's.
All your sins. Yeah, all your sins. He died for all your sins. Okay, very good. These are precious. These three guys, they're in a group home here in Midland, and I get to go pick them up and bring them to church. And we have wonderful fellowship one with each other. But it's a beautiful place. My mind's going in all different places, but I want to look at... I believe it's in Philippians where Paul, the Apostle Paul, was preaching. And he made a point. The first chapter of the Philippians, we'll just go there shortly, the 12th verse, there's a point made in this chapter that I want to bring out before I get to what's, I hope the Lord's put on my mind. But the Apostle Paul is saying, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Y'all know Paul was in bondage, was in jail, things had been beaten, and a lot of things have been happened to him. And he says these things that have happened, it's encouraging others that are doing the same as I am. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." He's saying here there's brethren out here that are preaching, they see what's happening to me, and they're stepping up, said, I want to do that too. Then this is where I want to get to. "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." So what is he saying here? Some of them are preaching Christ, but they're not really getting the story correct, or their light's not exactly the same. He says, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know, that struck me. I've been thinking about that. Here the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, as long as they're preaching Christ, I don't care if they're not getting everything exactly right, if they're not explaining it right, but they're preaching Christ. Did he say as long as they're preaching Jesus? No, he said that as long as they're preaching Christ. What is Christ? Christ is the anointed one. What's the anointed one? He was anointed for the remissions of our sin. And Apostle Paul, as long as they're talking about Christ and what Christ did, I'm happy. I'm happy about it. And you know, that made me stop and think. You know, I'm always sitting with my finger on the trigger, ready to fire back at people that don't necessarily believe everything just like I do. And I've told y'all before, they come in my store in Big Spring. A lot of them are Christian folks, and they belong to the big box churches, and they have praise and worship bands. And sometimes they engage me because they know that I have a love for the Lord too. It used to bother me, and I wanted to almost become combative when they would spew things out of their mouth that was, you know, not the truth and not honest doctrine. But you know, it doesn't bother me as much anymore, especially thinking about this. Here they are doing their best to worship Christ. And I'm thankful for that. And I got to thinking, all right, Gary, we say that the Lord's people are like the sands in the sea and the stars of the sky, a number no man can count. Didn't we say that? Here's somebody that's spending their time going to church and talking about Christ. I can't discern whether they're one of God's children or not. There's a good chance that they are. If there's that many of the Lord's people that we can't count, then there's a lot of people out there, they're trying to serve the Lord, but what's the difference? Well, they haven't been given light. They haven't been given understanding on the subject. So I'm trying to be less combative and more loving and say, look, I'm thankful that you're doing what you're doing. It's a beautiful thing that you're taking your time. And there's so many people out in the world. Y'all know, y'all have seen them. I know they're all over the place. They don't get up and go to church. They don't serve the Lord. They're living a life of sin. Turn on the TV. Go to the movies. You can see it. It's rampant. It's everywhere. I'm thankful that that this is not it, that we live on this earth and then we die and it's over. That's discouraging, isn't it? That's not the way. We don't believe that. There are people that believe that. We believe that Christ came, lived on this earth, took on our sins, the sins of man, went to the cross, died on the cross, was buried, and was that it? No. He rose, didn't he? He was resurrected after the third day and paid the sin debt that we all owe. And like I asked the boys earlier, how many of your sins did he die for? You know, he died for all your sins. And that's a sweet thing. And, you know, people tell us, you know, you primitive Baptists, you believe that God chose you, elected, predestined, all that kind of stuff. And if I believed like y'all did, then I'd go out and I'd just sin all I wanted to. And I don't think somebody in this stand not long ago had that question. He says, well, you're apparently doing that already, aren't you? You know, they're already doing that. But, you know, where much is given, much is required. Trying to remember where that scripture is. I believe it's in Luke. Hang on, I got my little cheat right here. I love these phones where you can make notes. And y'all bear with me. Continue to pray that while I'm up here Let's see here. It's Luke 48, about the middle of the verse. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. What Luke is saying here, he's talking of the story, and you can go read the 12th chapter of Luke, was talking about the Lord of a group, a family. He had servants and everything, and they called him Lord, the Lord of the house. He had given everybody responsibilities, and the ones that were more capable of doing work and things, he'd give them more work to do, or gave more to them. And the point that Luke is wanting us to see here is that if the Lord gives you light and shows you who you are and where you are, and you have understanding about these things, it's glorious things, then he requires just a little bit more of you. If I've told you these things, if I show you these things, then I expect you to be an honorable child, to be obedient and do the things that I ask you to do. More is required, more is asked of us, the more understanding you have. So that was the one thing I had on my mind this morning that I wanted to go to. Let's turn over, and y'all continue to pray for me. I don't know why I'm even standing here. Colossians. I had it bookmarked with that piece of paper, and I pulled my piece of paper out while I got it. You don't think this is hard to get up here and try it? You know, it's a tough thing to do, to stand before the Lord's people, and especially when there's 90% of you, maybe all of you, have more understanding than I do about the things that I'm trying to talk about. I'm not one to just read, but there's the first of Colossians. Bear with me, and let's just read. The third chapter is what I'd like to get to, but let's go to the first chapter, and let's read and make some comments on what's going on here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. You know, I love it that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Christ is not his name. Christ was his title. That's who he was. Christ, the anointed one, the Savior, the one that was anointed for our sins. Would it be as meant as powerful to say Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God? Well, I mean, that's okay. That's close. But he's an apostle of Jesus, the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. And Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's talking to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Third verse. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is common to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. What's he saying? He's thankful for the fact that up in the fourth verse, and of the love which you have to all the saints. He's heard about this church in Colossae. Paul has, and he's writing them this letter, and he's thankful for the love that they have one for each other. And, you know, I'm thankful for the love that y'all have one for each other. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm thankful for all the saints of the Lord that we know thankful for the love that they show each other. I'm going pretty soon to Alabama to a singing school. Deborah thought I wasn't going, but anyway, it's another story. You going with me? And it's a gathering, and there'll be 300 probably, and out of the 300, 298 of them are probably Primitive Baptist, Old Baptist. And you can just see the love that they share one with the other. And I can go from West Texas all the way to Jasper, Alabama, and feel right at home. Walk in there and sit down with the saints of the Lord and sing and worship with them. And that's a glorious thing. And the Lord has given this to us, given us the light and the understanding that we have, and showed us, look, there's other people around here that I've opened their eyes up to these things too. Go be with them and fellowship with them. So Paul was rejoicing about this church at Colossae. So drop down to the ninth verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of his dear son, excuse me. I love all the past tense references in here. He says, 13th verse, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Did he say he's going to deliver us from the power of darkness? No, he hath done that. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's talking to the saints of the Lord here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And there's so much meat and text in here that's just wonderful things to talk about and preach about, and I keep passing by it, but I want to get to a particular point. So I'm going to continue reading now. Y'all bear with me. 16th verse. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You believe that? All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his Christ, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Is that you? Were you at some time enemy of the Lord? Were you sometime living out here in the world just however you wanted to? Wicked works, enemy to the church of God. We've all been there. We've all left. Some of us have left the body of the church and gone out and decided we're going to do what feels good to us. 24, I'm going to read that again. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In spite of what you did or where you used to be or what you're doing or where you've gone, in the body of his flesh through death, he's presented you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He's covered those sins. Is that not amazing? Can you even comprehend that? Our fleshly being the lust of our flesh. We continue battle with Satan. Y'all probably don't have as much problem as I do, but every day Satan comes into my life and gives me thoughts and makes me think things that, just like he told Adam and Eve, you're not going to die if you eat that apple, you know. Come on, eat the apple, you know, you're going to be a God, just like God. Satan's all the time telling you stuff. No, it's not so big of a deal if you do this or think that or watch this particular movie. What's it going to hurt, you know? You know, with the eyes, lust is manifest. If you don't know anything, if you never see something, don't know anything, you'll never think about it if you don't know it, if you don't see it. Does that make sense? But if just the world is full of pornography, you know, it's 2 seconds. We can have it all over this phone right here. And if I fall back and indulge myself and look at that, then that's in my mind. That image is embedded in my mind, and Satan is going to help me think about it from time to time. And I said, well, you know, maybe I'll go look again. It's not going to hurt if I look at it again. What am I doing? I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't actually there. I'm just watching it, you know. Baloney. It'll drag you down into the depths of sin. And before you know it, just like the first Psalm, what does it say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I've talked about this before. Blessed is the man that doesn't even walk around the counsel of the ungodly. Let's go over to Psalms real quick. Let's read that. I don't mean to halfway quote it. And I've used this in the illustration. I know I've done it here. Psalm, it's about halfway through it's after Kings and before Proverbs. The first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. You know, I use the example of me moving to Nashville, Tennessee when I was 17. I've told you this a couple of times, and I'm sorry if I'm wearing it out. But when I went out there, I was 17, I was Primitive Baptist, and I was going to this band, you know, and my dad let me go, and I kind of wish he'd said no. But anyway, I did. I went, and I said, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to be influenced by those people, those music people. You know, I can go do that, and I can fly above the crowd. And I thought that's what I could do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I was walking in their counsel. I was mixing and mingling with the ungodly. And, you know, those gospel singers you see on TV may be your favorite people. You may just love to listen to them. But I'm telling you, that's the counsel of the ungodly. Now, not all of them are that way, but I met a lot of them that were. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, I was walking around with these people. Then all of a sudden, I started standing and observing. Oh, this is really fun, you know. And, of course, I was getting involved playing my guitar and getting on stage and accolades and all that kind of stuff. I was really having a great time. So I started standing around with them. Their influence became stronger and stronger. Then the scripture says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I finally sat down right there with them and just ate of the stuff they were eating of and wallowed around it. And I'm shameful that I have to tell you this, you know. But the sins of this world and the lusts of this world overcame me. Well, Gary, you were 18, 19 years old. You were the kid. I knew better. I'm telling you, the second verse, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you want to keep Satan from taking over you? Do you want to let the wiles of the devil push it back? You raising up that shield of faith? Let your delight be in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditate day and night. Do you read the scriptures every day? I don't. Sometimes I go days and I don't even pick up my Bible. And the more I stray and the more I'm away from the word of the Lord, it seems like the easier it is for Satan and the world to creep in and conflict me and constrain me and motivate me to do things that maybe I shouldn't do. I hope you're not like that, but that's... What verse were we on, Chris? You remember? In Colossians.
God, I think it was Colossians 5.
Well, you're pretty close. The 21st verse of chapter 1. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. How can that be? Well, the anointing of his blood on you is covering your sins. When the Lord looks at you, he looks at the blood of his Son. He does not see your sins. And that's why we're here this morning, to rejoice and thankful that he did that. I'm going to skip over. I'm going to get to the... Let's go over to the third chapter. Paul had been telling us all these great things, wonderful things about the love of the Lord and what he's done for us and how this church body is loving each other and fellowshipping each other. Let's look at the third chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, talking just to you, you know, if you're one of these, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's hid pretty well. You're dead, your life is hid in Christ, and it's buried in God. Can anybody get to you? You know, they'll have to overcome Christ and the Lord in order to get to you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When the clouds open up and the trumpet sounds and he comes back, boom, we're there with him. What a wonderful thing. Verse 5. Mortify. What does that mean? Mortify. Put away from you. Forget about it. Don't do it. Stomp it out. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. How do you say that word? Concupiscence. I don't know. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. He's saying, all these terrible words and things he talked about here, he said, that was us at some point. We walked in that. That's how we did. But now, he said, okay, that was bad stuff, and you've turned from that. You're following the Lord. You're doing better. And he said, now there's a little bit more required. But now, you also put off these: anger. You ever get mad? Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Here's how we're supposed to act. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell, let it live in you. Let the word of Christ live in you in all wisdom. Don't put it away. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we did this morning, wasn't it, buddy, boys?
It was.
We were singing with grace in our hearts, singing to the Lord, admonishing one another. Who selected Joy to the World? Was that David did? Brother David said he wanted to sing Joy to the World. Well, that's a Christmas song. But we sang it because what better thing to exclaim? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive his King. We can sing that anytime we want to, and I really appreciate him selecting that. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The word of the Lord, and this is the inspired word of the Lord. This wasn't Paul's opinion. The prophets and the apostles, they wrote these things down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Were they dictated? Well, I don't know how it happened, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things. There's a box of Kleenexes sitting right here, and I can move them right there. Did I not move them? I moved them. And I can move them over here. Did those Kleenexes have anything to do with getting moved? No, it was by my power, my physical power, that moved them. And that's what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, moved these prophets and these apostles to write these words. These words were given to them. They weren't just happenstance and by chance. It's the word of God, the word of our Lord. This whole scripture is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was Christ. God isn't totally, you know, this is a cliche, but, you know, God is totally in control of his domain and his love and how he deals with us. The 18th verse, I saw that, and I used to not like that verse. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. And husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I kept thinking, that doesn't give a husband liberty to treat his wife any way he wants to. That's not what it's saying here. Saying, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Be faithful to your own husband. Love your husband. Give him honor and glory that is deserved in that matrimony that the Lord has blessed you with. But at the same time, you husbands, you honor that wife. I wasn't going to go there, but it was just staring at me. I just want to bring that out. So what's going on here is Paul's writing to this church, and he's thankful for their love one for the other and the faithfulness that they've shown. He's admonishing us now, admonishing us. He's thankful that we put off these uncleanness, fornication, all these dire things. But he's warning us at the same time. You know, you get mad because your cable show got canceled. You get angry. The guy cuts you off going down the road, and you have some explicits to say. Saying, get rid of that too. Love one another, especially those of the household of faith. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And above all these things, the 14th verse, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And charity is love. Put on love. Love one another. And do you love somebody that loves you or somebody that does something special for you? Is that who you love? No, you love your enemies too. You love everybody. Brother Chris here, I know you love everybody, don't you? You're just the embodiment of love. Yeah. And I love you.
Love you too, Brother Gary.
Yeah. So it's a wonderful thing to be among the Lord's people, and I appreciate your kind attention and your thoughtfulness as I have attempted to share these things with you. And next Sunday, Brother Ed Kirkpatrick will be with us. He holds the second Sunday appointment now. So let's be in prayer for Brother Ed as him and his wife travel over here. And I believe the third Sunday, let me look at my calendar. I believe Brother Don, our pastor Brother Don, will be back with us at that time. A lot going on this summer. No, he won't be. We're hoping to maybe the Brother Matt Green will be in the area, and I'm going to try to get a hold of him to be here on the third Sunday. I will be gone the next two Sundays. Brownfield Church has asked me to come up there and be with them. And then the third Sunday, the Lubbock Church has asked me to come and speak with them. I don't understand what's going on and why. I don't feel capable of doing this, and I beg you for your prayers and your love, because it's a scary thing. Scary thing. Chris, lead a song. Let's have a handshake.
All right.
If you got a number.